Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Captain Brett Bartlett, retired captain from the Tampa Police Department. He's also the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. And, of course, we all know it's 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. That's right. Don't forget that. Also, Lieutenant Randy Sutton actually has worked for a couple departments, but retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. And I believe, Randy, I think you're also around 32 years of law enforcement experience. Am I right on that?
34. I'm the senior officer here.
Oh, shoot. I stand corrected. So he's the founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. So thanks so much for being back on the show, Randy.
You can have him.
and you know, it wasn't long. Last week, we were all hanging out together on Thursday, a week ago today, right? We were all hanging out on Thursday, you know?
Yep.
So love it. Yeah.
Yeah, Randy was our gracious host. Got a lovely place
whiskey,
there in Vegas.
Bourbon. He even had cigars on the. I didn't partake, but yeah, very good. And Dan Dela Cruz made it. So a shout out to our sponsors. Hey, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. We also have ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and FishOrlandoBass.com, where Zach is doing bass fishing charters out of Orlando, and he's also doing alligator hunting. You catch and relocate alligators. Amazing opportunity, FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press for carrying our content. Thanks, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. That's Randy's friend. And also Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? Well, we got some great updates involving Minnesota, Minneapolis. What's going on? We're going to cover that first. Then we got a former Virginia governor, Youngkin, on his way out the door. He pardons an ex-police sergeant who was involved in a fatal shooting in 2023. And the guy ended up being unarmed. We're going to cover that. Then we have a canine. You know, I love the canine bite videos. A canine catches a fleeing Florida man wanted for drug trafficking only in Florida. And then we got San Diego Police Department. There's a body-worn camera. There's a dude being shot by San Diego police officers. And we've also got, you know, some other stuff as well. We've got a woman armed with a knife. She ends up being fatally shot by a Grand Forks County Sheriff's deputy, if we have time to get to that one. And then lastly, we've got Arkansas State Police Trooper fired after he pits the wrong car. Wow. That's just, and they got video for it. I don't know that I would have fired the dude.
Maybe that's a training thing. It's
a training thing, but there may be some other issues, but yeah. All right. So look, let's jump right into Minneapolis here. So my sources are, in order, RVM News, which is redvoicemedianews.com, the first two stories. Then we got the libertydaily.com, lawofficer.com, WSJ, which is the wallstreetjournal.com, washingtonexaminer.com, borderhawk.news, and then finally, the article that Randy sent me this morning, foxnews.com. So Minnesota, these are the titles, and I'm not going to go too deep on this. I'm just going to do mostly headlines. I'm going to give a synopsis on a few of these. Minnesota police union leader blasts officials for blocking ICE cooperation after fatal protest. So it's not the Minneapolis Police Federation where Bob Kroll worked out. It's the St. Paul, you know, they border each other, St. Paul, Minneapolis. St. Paul Police Federation President Mark Ross said that, but he's spot on. Local officials' resistance to coordination with the U.S. ICE and Border Patrol, it left federal officers isolated during violent demonstrations, which he believes could have been prevented with basic cooperation. He goes on to say that had the local police been allowed to assist with crowd control and coordination, quote, there would be no loss of life, unquote. Those are some serious words. Also, we have protesters storming whose office, demanding ICE leave Minnesota? That would be Governor Tim Walz's office. So that made me smile. Then we got the DOJ, Pam Bondi. They named 16 anti-ICE rioters who end up being arrested in a federal crackdown. Guys, we got cameras. They're going to come get you. The Department of Justice announced Wednesday that 16 anti-immigration and customs enforcement rioters, they've been arrested in Minnesota for allegedly assaulting federal officers. Attorney Pam Bondi alleged on an ex post that the Minnesota rioters have actively been resisting and impeding our federal law enforcement agents. And she added that the DOJ expects more arrests to come. So that is like an operation in progress. I love it. And then we've got President Trump to de-escalate federal immigration to Minneapolis. So there has been a little pivot And a lot of people are wondering why. He said that his administration is going to de-escalate its federal immigration operation in Minnesota. He signaled a tactical shift there. And of course, it happened after we had two people, and they were bad, you know, a bad girl and a bad guy, you know, killed in Minneapolis. And then we got Tom Homan. So when Trump did the pivot, he sends Tom Homan into Minneapolis. And they talk about this big reset is starting with Tom Homan. But here we have the Tom Homan, the White House border czar. He arrives with a series of demands when he meets with Minnesota's Democratic leader. So that would be Governor Tim Walz. That would be Mayor Jacob Frey and also Chief O'Hara. And topping the list is what he wants, an agreement from them to turn over more immigrants from the state's prisons and jails, people familiar with the matter said. In other words, they wouldn't have to, you know, they wouldn't have to no longer wear, you know, do the police function, because everything would be nice, organized, controlled, and just give them the people that have already broken law in the first place. Homan's task, the people said, is to secure what the administration count on as concessions from the state's Democrats. But several of these same Democrats have been subpoenaed by the Justice Department in exchange for a, because of what they've been doing in reference to this. But they're just trying to make a deal. The biggest notable change so far, according to the article, is that both sides appear to be talking. So at least they're communicating on this. But then, of course, not long ago, we saw Jacob Frey go on and say, hey, you know what? We're not cooperating. And then Homan hails a productive meeting, though, with Tim Walz and Jacob Frey after the Alex Pretty shooting. But I just told you what the mayor said. And then DHS investigating a woman who tried to buy a gun to kill ICE agents. And then finally, FoxNews.com, mob mentality endangers officers amid anti-ICE unrest and chaos in Minneapolis. Retired cops warn. And I wonder who the retired cop is. Randy, Lieutenant Randy, why don't you take it?
I can tell you this, that article was the number one article on Fox News 3 days ago and received about 2 million views in the first 2 hours.
Mm.
Wow. And I'll actually be on Fox News later this afternoon to talk about it.
I love it. I love it. We'll be watching. We're glued to Fox News, looking for you. I'm up the two TVs with your screen image burned on the TVs, Randy. So I'm running.
Well, Fry, that little worm of a mayor, you know, he's talking about cooperating with ICE. He has no say about it. The prisoners aren't in his custody. The jails are Hennepin County. And
oh, good point.
And he's got nothing to say about it. He's the freaking mayor of Minneapolis. They don't have prisoners. But of course, Hennepin County, they have that another, you know, goofy Soros funded DA, and the sheriff is this big, she's a joke too.
Yep.
So, but you notice you haven't even seen her.
You're right.
She's been silent during this whole thing. She's trying to keep herself from getting indicted too. And it's smart of her. It's smart of her. But they're the ones that, so I understand that the state prisons are now vowing to cooperate with ICE. So that's a good thing.
Agreed. Brett Bartlett.
Fry is the one that back during the reason for the summer love, he bent down on one knee and said, oh, I'm so broken. I'm broken. Oh, shut up. You know, they're all thinking that Macron's wife is a chick. I think this guy she's a dude. I think this guy is a chick. He is such a sissy. I can't, this guy's little curly hair up front. Right. I mean, they do this all for show. They're not going to stop anybody. Now I saw this on another site. People are going, well, Trump capitulated. No, I don't think he did. If he had capitulated, he wouldn't be sending Tom Homan to Minneapolis. Tom Homan is. He's rough and he's gruff and he's going to get out there and get the job done. I think he has, and this other site said, he's changing his tactics. Now, he says, okay, I won't do street sweeps. All I want for you guys to do is turn over your criminal illegal immigrants. And what are they going to say? No.
Yeah, that's exactly what they'll say. Yeah, no,
I agree.
They've done it before, but I think that they may capitulate this time. Now, let's look at the reality of what's going on there too. Just the other day, right? The Minneapolis Police Department actually and the sheriffs actually gave a dispersal order. They called it an unlawful assembly. This is where the other ICE guy, the guy that was there that Homan replaced, they believed he was staying in this hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically laid siege to the hotel.
We covered that yesterday. Yeah, video and everything.
So this time, though, they allowed law enforcement to do what law enforcement is supposed to do. And they declared an unlawful assembly. And they actually arrested people. And that was the end of that.
Wow.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. You know, there's still no curfew, no outlawing or banning, you know, facial coverings or anything like that. If they really wanted this thing to go away overnight, they could. Guys, we got 13 seconds. We're going to go to the commercial break. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. We all know about the glove, but then there are other things too. In today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their EcoProtect nitrile gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, and we've also got Lieutenant Rainey Sutton. And Brett, any final words on the last topic, Minneapolis, before we go to the update story?
No, I'm just concerned about how it's going to end up. You know, it's historic. We will be reading about this. Children will be reading about this in school decades from now.
I agree. I hinted yesterday, earlier in the week, maybe it even been on Monday, where Leo Roundtable, we're going to be getting involved in this, and there's something that we've got planned that we're going to be doing, but I don't want to spill the beans until we implement it. But something's going on that everybody listening to the show or watching shows going to want to participate in, and we're going to need your help in order to make this thing work. But it will drastically help the effort that's going on, you know, in Minneapolis. So stay tuned for that announcement. We're trying to get this accomplished as soon as possible. So if you guys are ready, we've got our update story, APnews.com. Former Virginia Governor Youngkin, he pardons an ex-police sergeant in the fatal 2023 shooting of an unarmed man. Now, days before his term ended, Virginia Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin, he pardoned a former Fairfax County police officer who was convicted in a fatal shooting of an unarmed man that was accused of stealing sunglasses at a mall. Now, according to this newly released report, the sergeant, it's Wesley Shiflett, he received an absolute pardon on January the 15th from the governor. The pardon comes amid nationwide debate over legal protections for law enforcement personnel and when use of force, including deadly force, is justified. Now, less than a year ago, Governor Youngkin, he granted Shiflett clemency in the case, throwing out his 3-year prison sentence. And we're not done. The deadly. Well, here's a quote from the governor. The deadly force used by Sergeant Wesley Gonzalez Shiflett on February the 22nd, 2023. It was both lawful and consistent with the department's policy and training. Now, he wrote that in the pardon, which is maybe making you guys scratch your head on why he was convicted. Now, Shiflett was convicted in 2024, and the conviction was for reckless firearm use in the killing of Timothy McCree Johnson, which was in Northern Virginia. And he was acquitted of a manslaughter charge, but they got him for the reckless firearm charge. The former sergeant chased Johnson out of a mall parking deck into a wooded area. There is body cam. During the trial, they showed Shiflett yelling, "Get on the ground," and then he fired two shots at Johnson 2 seconds later. After the shots were fired, Shiflett immediately shouted, "Stop reaching," and told other officers that he saw our bad guy putting his hand in his waistband. And during the trial, the officer testified that his motor functions were operating more quickly than he could verbalize. After that, Johnson can be heard saying in the body cam video, "Hey, I'm not reaching for nothing. I don't have nothing." Of course, you just hear him saying that doesn't mean that it's accurate. Governor Youngkin based his pardon on a report released by the department back in April, concluding that Shiflett's actions were objectively reasonable because he thought Johnson, the bad guy, remember the shoplifter, posed a significant threat of death or serious bodily injury to him when he used deadly force. So that's the way that went down. He pardoned this dude out of office. Do you guys suspect it was because of a potential blowback from that, Randy?
Well, this guy never should have been convicted of anything. This was once again the liberal left, you know,
agreed,
doing what they do. And thank God that Youngkin did this, because this new governor in Virginia is as radical as they come. She's already instituted anti-law enforcement legislation, anti-public safety. She is as radical as they get. So if Youngkin had not done that, this guy would never have received justice. So good on him.
Brett?
Well, speaking of her last name, Spanberger, she is making moves against the Virginia Military Institute. And basically, I think she wants to do away with that very, very historic institution. Now, back to this case. Okay. And we know how that the media skews everything, because everybody that watches a YouTube video thinks they're an expert on the shooting. So here's the headline, right? AP, pardon ex-police sergeant in fatal shooting of unarmed man. That's unarmed man. So you go into the very first paragraph, it says that the guy was accused of stealing sunglasses at a mall. And that's all that really says. So what is a person thinking? Oh my gosh, this guy should be in jail. But the problem is, it's very difficult to explain what really goes on to an audience whose life revolves around a 4-minute YouTube video. Because they don't want to hear the facts. They don't want to dig into the science, right? Right. And we've read these books. We got one in Las Vegas last week from Dr. Jamie. It's an inch thick. And that's just breaking the surface of what people need to know to take a look at these events. So I'm not surprised, but I'm so glad that young man is going to be released, or has been released.
Yeah.
Well, and now with the pardon, he can go become a cop again.
Yep.
Huh, good point. Good point.
If anybody will hire him, that's going to be the problem.
Randy, they hire these little agencies. You've seen all across the country, they hire these guys that shouldn't be hired.
Yeah.
Right. They keep hiring them over and over, and they can't understand why they get in trouble. But yeah, you're right. This guy who didn't do anything wrong, who has an official pardon, yeah, he'll probably never see it again.
Well, one for the good guys. Well, if you all are ready, let's get some stories with video components, and let's start off with the K9, you know, my favorite. Rumble.com.
As soon as I saw that, I knew that this was going to be your favorite. That's why it's the lead-off video.
So this is Butter, and again, our favorite law enforcement video channel. K9 catches a fleeing Florida man wanted for drug trafficking.
On your stomach! Show me your fucking hands! Roll over on your stomach! Roll over on your stomach! Show me your hands!
So we're in Bellevue, Florida. So a Marion County K-9 ends up tracking and catching this wanted felon. or this wanted man in Florida on Saturday. He was running from law enforcement during an attempted traffic stop in Bellevue. And this is according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. Now, we've only got about a minute before we take our next commercial break, so I'm going to try to get through as much of this as I can. So a deputy attempted to locate this guy. Bad guy's name is George Jones. He's wanted for trafficking of methamphetamine, 5 counts of failure to appear, and the deputies locate his vehicle, and they try to do a traffic stop, and he flees. Now, the vehicle he was in, it eventually stopped. He climbs out of the back seat. He runs, and unfortunate for him, it was a canine corporal and a canine chasing him, and the canine's name is Gunner. You gotta love that. And so Gunner apprehends Jones before deputies catch up to do the arrest thing. We got a video footage of Gunner biting Jones and biting his arm, and they're giving him command to show your hands. And when they finally, you know, take the dog off, you can see him bleeding from the arm and stuff, but they get him handcuffed. We're gonna cover this in great detail. And with great joy, when we come back from commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. A beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market already at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but now they're being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can get your hands on the Primo stuff, and their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton. We left off talking about an article or story with a video component. Canine catches fleeing Florida man that's wanted for drug trafficking. This happened in Bellevue, Florida, and it's in the jurisdiction of the Marion County Sheriff's Office. And so our canine gunner catches the bad guy. We've got aerial footage of this. You know, with like, it was, I can't remember if it was infrared and or thermal, but it was still pretty spectacular. Then we got body cam of when the cop catches up with the canine. You hear, you know, he could have been blindfolded and got there, because you can just hear the bad guy screaming so loud that it was easy to find. And the dog didn't release until, you know, just about the time they got this guy handcuffed. And so the body camera footage on that during the investigation. The driver is not the same as the bad guy that bailed. The driver told the deputies that when the traffic stop was attempted, that our bad guy, you know, that fled and got bit by the canine, that he told her, don't stop the car. And he actually threatened to stab her with a friggin' knife while she's driving, you know, and fleeing the cop. So the sheriff's office said that Jones was arrested. He was transported to the Marion County Jail. It doesn't say if they did a detour by the hospital first for stitches from the canine. But in addition to his outstanding warrants, he was charged with false imprisonment, resisting without violence, and possession of drug paraphernalia, according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. Brett, why don't you start us off on this one?
Well, yeah, I mentioned before, I was for the bad guy, and I kind of let that go. I'm for the bad guy only at the point where the dog starts eating him and they're giving up commands to show your hands.
Yeah. Or put your hands behind your back.
Yeah. I'm not going to put my hands behind my back while a dog's eating me. I'm not going to do it.
We need to do a scenario like that.
Yeah,
Brett.
Let's do that.
Have you be the subject.
And he did go to the hospital so that they could, when after the dog ate him, the dog could poop him out into a bedpan under controlled circumstance. That's why they took him there. But I don't know. I think maybe that they should pull the dog off and give the guy a chance to follow the orders, because I'm telling you, I'm not going to follow a canine orders when the dog's biting me. It's just, I think the natural reaction is just to protect yourself no matter what condition you're in.
You see, I think that they should take the dog off and give him an opportunity to run again, you know? let the dog do his thing. That would be great, dude, if they had a policy like that. Why do I put up with you? Having clips over and over of the same guy getting bit by the same dog, but it happens over and over again. You know, can you imagine how entertaining that could be?
You're a hater.
I just love, look, we need tougher guys. We need tougher dudes in Florida. I mean, how many scars do you and I have, Brett, from canines biting us? I mean, I'm assuming you have them.
I managed to not, I managed to not get my mouth in front of the canine, but you go ahead and tell me your story.
Well, dude, that was my dog that bit me in the lip. But I mean, Jimmy Menendez's dog, Lancer, I got some great scars on my arm from that dog. But come on, Florida dudes, toughen up. Don't scream like a little girl when you're getting bit by a little canine.
I'm going to scream. Especially if he's biting around the junkle area, right?
Yeah, the little femoral. Yeah.
Yeah, the little guy's going to, you know what, pal, we're going to survive this. You need to start screaming right now. If you want to use me again, you better start screaming right now.
See, I like to see Randy go to like a canine training day, and he just walks in the midst of these canines, but he smells like cat, right? He's got like, what, four cats, you know? Right. And just watch the drama, see what happens, you know.
Yeah, it's not there's just cat. There's it's my cats, girl. It's cat's butt.
That's a boy, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I didn't know. So I think I bet that one when I was there. All right. Randy, any commentary?
So did you guys catch this? During the pursuit, the canine officer passes all the cops. Did you see that?
I didn't pick up on it, but I believe you.
That's what it looked like. It looked like he passed like five different police cars in the pursuit. And I was trying to figure out why would he want to become the primary? I wondered if you guys caught that as well.
I mean, I'm assuming because the dog had already been released. So I'm assuming because he wanted to make sure his dog was okay, not getting stabbed or anything by the dog.
No. This was during when the pursuit was still on.
Yeah, but had the dog already been released though, right?
No, this is when the vehicle pursuit was still on.
Oh, the vehicle. Oh, okay. I thought you meant running that. Okay, I get it. Okay. Well, you didn't say vehicle. Okay, I get it. We got a vehicle pursuit and we got a foot pursuit.
Thank you,
okay.
Brett. Thank you.
Apparently, I need to go back to school. So, all right, guys. Well, look, thanks. We got time for another one. And so let's take this one. This also has a video component. We're still at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, again, called This Is Better. So we've got the SDPD, which stands for, San Diego Police Department. So we're going to pop over to California. They released body cam video hours after a man was shot by San Diego police officers.
Hey, push it. You're good? I'm good.
You okay? Yeah, I'm okay.
Good. Hey, Danny, you good? Yeah. Hey, bump on this side. Use this side. Hey, we're going to use this side. Hey, bro, if you reach for a weapon, you're going to get shot, all right? You guys ready? No, we're good. Push up. There's a lot of us. Hey, someone get a taser up. Taser up. Yeah, I got lethal. Get taser up because he's not getting down. Hey,
get on the fucking ground.
Get on the ground now or you're going to get tased.
Is that a real gun?
Get on the...
Get on the ground!
Yeah?
Is that a real gun?
Hey, you want to... Yeah, it is. Do not reach for the gun! Do not reach for that gun! Hey!
Shots fired.
So it's La Presa, California. According to the office of San Diego Police Department, they got a call regarding a stolen vehicle. It's about 12:40 in the afternoon. It's the middle of the afternoon. When an officer spots the vehicle, he makes an attempt to pull it over. Of course, we know what happens. The driver fails to stop. Now we got a pursuit. Not a foot pursuit, a vehicle pursuit. So I said that, Randy, for you. So when an officer spots the vehicle, that pursuit starts. So they have an officer deploy spike strips in an attempt to stop the vehicle. He drives over the spike strips, continues eastbound. Now he crashes into a light pole, jumps out of the car. Officers observe an item that appeared to be a firearm near the suspect. So he is like down on his knees. He's... I believe he was facing away from the officers, but you see that gun on the ground and the officers are telling him, hey, don't go for the gun. I got some notes I'll get to in a second, but one officer ends up firing this weapon, striking the suspect. He's taken to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. When I go to my show notes, they're telling him that he will be, they first say something about, well, they first say he'll be shot if he reaches for a nearby weapon. And then later on, they say, hey, now we're going to tase you if you don't get on the ground. And he ends up going for the gun at 57 seconds into it, and then he gets shot. Commentary, Randy, you want to start us off?
Yeah, you could hear the communication between the officers when they saw the weapon, and one of them, because it was hard to see, and one of them says, "Is that a gun?" Yeah, and the other guy said, "Is that a real gun?" And by the way, there was nothing in the article that said it was a real gun. I don't think it was. And I read that article, and there was no mention of the fact if it was a real weapon or not. So when I looked at the close up of the photograph of it, it didn't look like a real weapon to me. But of course, at that distance, you can't tell. So the officer is perfectly justified in doing what he did. That was, you know, that was you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, guys, interesting commentary. Brett, did you have anything on that or anything more?
I noticed that again. We're only seeing this part of the video that you show us, but there were officers there. Then another officer came up. Looked like he came into the scene. He's the one that started talking. I don't know if he was a supervisor. I don't know if he was the unranked leader of the group, but he was the only one talking, and he gave pretty good commands. Guys, do this, do that. But somebody was yelling, "I will taser if you don't," but then he didn't. Then they didn't taser him. And I still teach at the academy, and I teach these kids, don't give a command if you're not going to enforce the command. It's useless talk. But then he started reaching for the device. Real gun or not, doesn't matter. But this one officer is the only one that shot that guy, but they're all seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if, for whatever reason, all of them there were deferring everything to this one officer.
Yeah, that's true. You're 100% right. That was, and I heard the same thing, the taser, and it was not deployed. I don't know who was saying it, but yeah, it looked like they were already on the scene when that guy showed up, and I think he was the last one there and took command. So you're right. He may have been the sergeant.
Well, guys, I think it's 2 minutes. We'll have to do this fast. Rumble.com. This is Butters, the channel. Arkansas State police trooper ends up being fired after he pitched the wrong car. So Little Rock, Arkansas, I'm going to go through this really quick. The trooper has been terminated, mistakenly reformed. They call it there a tactical vehicle intervention, so TVI, but it's really a pit maneuver. He did it in the wrong car during the pursuit. So he ends up doing a traffic stop. And the guy, he walks up to the car. He's conversing with the driver. And then the dude ends up speeding away. So the trooper turns his back. He's not looking at the speeding car, but you can see it on the dash cam, gets his cruiser, and now he's trying to catch up with it. Well, he gets behind the wrong freaking car. It's an SUV, and that SUV is getting off of the exit, on the exit ramp, and it's a female driver, and he ends up pitting her and gets out at gunpoint and then realizes it's the wrong freaking vehicle. He's apologetic and stuff, but they ended up firing him for that. Commentary, guys, we got 1 minute. Randy?
It was like, what are you doing? And, you know, and I say that maybe this was a training issue, but I don't know if you can fix that guy. You were chasing the car. Right. It wasn't like you came in the middle of the pursuit and it was, and it's hard to even justify that he did that. So maybe that there may have been many other training issues involved here, or in his, you know, in his performance, that this was like the final straw.
You may be on to something. Well, guys, we're coming up on our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a certified, safe, accurate, and competent leader in the field, and it's called a certifying firearm specialist. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, here's the deal. The founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a police chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett and Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and we've been talking about a use of force, and you know, they're pretty sensational here, but this last one was pretty interesting. Randy, and I think your mic is open. I know you were talking about it. You want to kind of refresh the audience about the scenario that we're talking about and finish your commentary?
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Well, your mic's open, so I figured you wanted to talk. No,
I don't want to talk. I don't even want to talk to you.
Oh, all right. So, Brett, any commentary?
No, second on that.
All right. So, look, we're going to move on then, and we're gonna leave this this last one, and we got one more commentary or one more story with a video component. So, a woman armed with a knife is fatally shot by a Grand Forks County Sheriff's deputy.
It's barricaded. It's barricaded.
Any breach? Watch out!
It's barricaded.
Heads! Heads! Heads!
No!
Heads!
No. Shot five! Shot five!
Central 3629.
Okay, so that is, we're taking the story from rumble.com. And again, another story from This Is Butter. That is going to be our favorite law enforcement video channel. So on this particular one, and I've got some show notes as well. It starts off by saying, hey, I'm going to be holding them hostage until you guys deal something with these groups that keep killing. And that's what Alice Nestahl, 47 years old, said at a 911 call from an apartment. And so that's what she's saying. Now, it is Grand Forks, North Dakota. And the county prosecutor ruled that Deputy Cameron Bridger had no other choice and said the shooting was justified. So it continues to say that she told the dispatcher that she was temporarily staying with a man who rented the apartment. And she said, get over here, somebody. She's going to kill me. And this is what the guy's saying. And the hostage could be heard yelling to police through the apartment door. Now, when they first get there, they can hear this guy in the apartment saying that he's being held hostage and that the female had a knife and was threatening to stab him. But on the outside of the apartment, police have got a drone and they spot a yellow-handled knife described as a box cutter that was on the table. But they also noted that there was no indication that the guy was being held hostage by the female. And the knife was on the table, but she didn't seem to have a weapon at the time. And he is walking around willingly in the apartment without being restricted by her. And so they relay that to the cops that are on the outside of the doorway that are actually on scene. The dispatcher had several conversations with this caller on the phone, and the hostage taker never indicated why she held the man hostage. She constantly talked about shootings and people being killed, but made no specific references. So we don't know whether this is about a Minneapolis thing or anything. And here's another quote saying, I've already told you this is the third call you called me, and something needs to happen because I will not let him leave. So she's calling saying that, wanting some kind of law enforcement response. About 10 minutes after arriving, you can hear her barricading the door from the outside. And then a short time later, she's seen picking up the knife off the table. And then a few minutes later, the lights are turned off in the apartment. The victim reappears. Now he's wearing a jacket. He tries to leave the apartment, and she's running after him now via the drone video. And then prosecutors say that she slams the door shut and locks the deadbolt. So now we go to the body cam video where we got cops on the inside of the doorway, and they end up kicking the door in. And when they get inside the apartment, she actually has the knife up to the male victim's, the left side of his neck. And that's when the Grand Forks County Sheriff's Office deputy Cameron Bridger ends up shooting her several times. Of course, he got cleared on that, but it ended up being a hostage situation. Captain Brett.
The first thing, very, very cool use of drones. They're becoming more and more popular and more useful. And people need to be careful when they're trying to kick open a door. You will ruin yourself if you try to kick open a door like that. And he was screaming, oh, it's barricaded. No, it wasn't, man. It was just a lock, and you're just a dude. You know, they need to bring the SWAT key and open that door. My last comment is, as soon as that guy pulled the trigger, he was telling radio that there were shots fired. Everybody knows shots were fired. Everybody knows it. Let's at least let the bad guy hit the ground before you start screaming shots fired. That's absolute. It's a distraction from his attention to the situation. I wish cops would quit doing that.
Yeah, you know, there's some guys are better door kickers than others, you know, but yeah, there was a little bit of difficulty there. But also, you know, when you're kicking in a door, you want to get right where the mechanism is, right where the bolt is. That's where you want to kick. That's your best opportunity to get that thing to breach. And so he was going a little further away from that bolt than I would have. But Randy Sutton.
So from the 911 calls, you could tell that she was a complete nutcase. I think that the response was exactly what they had to do. And the use of the drone, you got it right, Brett, man. That little piece of intelligence information was absolutely vital to this. They would have been completely, blind without it. So that was a really good use of the drone. And you're right. I mean, departments that are using this type of technology, it's life-saving stuff. And it's really a benefit. So kudos to them for utilizing it. When she turned the lights off, they didn't have any choice. I mean, I thought that, you know, when it was beginning, I thought, listen.
Yeah, I think we lost Randy, but good commentary. I wonder how many people have drones. Brett, do you have any idea how many agencies have drones now?
No, I don't. Of course, the big news across the country is DJI drones have been banned. And I don't know if most agencies use a more expensive drone or not, but that's going to cause some problems.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we need a good drone sponsor for the show because more agencies need to use them like this. So is your audio working yet again?
Yeah. So my final comment was when she turned the lights off, they had no choice. They had to go in, and that was pretty good shooting, I must say. Although, you know, that guy feels bad about having to shoot this crazy woman because, it's just one of those things. You don't have any choice when you got a hostage like that. For him to take that action, he had to be very confident in his shooting abilities, and he did take care of business.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'd love, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we want to see more long guns with law enforcement when they get calls and incidents, and it kind of gives you more options of what you can do. And I'm not talking about less lethal. I'm talking about long guns, you know, for lethal force. But of course, you're a lot more accurate and you take care of business from a further distance. But these drones, we're seeing more and more videos now that we had the canine video. That was drone, right? I mean, you got a canine running through the woods. How in the world are you going to know what's going on? You know, especially when the canine partner, you know, that's wearing the body cam is nowhere to be seen yet, you know? So yeah, the drone footage that we're seeing in these two stories was great. And this drone video helped save the life of the male that was being taken hostage by the female. So, you know, I agree. So I'm actually talking to a couple of drone companies right now. So we'll see what happens, but, it's the wave of the future. And, you know, now the larger agencies that are getting drone programs, they actually have people assigned to the drone unit. I don't know, Brett, I mean, you know what's going on. I don't know if you know what's going on with Tampa.
Tampa has a drone unit. Plant City has a drone unit. I've seen their stuff in action. It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
And it's almost not nowadays, now that it's out there, it's you put yourself in a libelous situation if you don't have it.
Well, yeah, you know, it's kind of like
given a certain budget that you have to deal with. But yeah, it's like the glove. It's like all these things that are coming up. You need to have that stuff.
You know, there's a drone product that I believe it's on the shoulder of the officer. And when you get out of your car, it deploys and it sends and it sends a video feed back to the command center, like the communication center, the dispatch center, and it sends them a live feed of what's going down. But the drone is able to perceive any potential threats, like an ambush or something like that. But it launches, and so
I've seen military people do exactly that. I don't know how a police agency could afford that.
Well, it's incredible. I don't know how many people are using it, but of course you're not watching a monitor. You know, you're having to focus on what you're doing, but dispatch. Right. Can tell you what the drone.
That's wild. I have not seen that.
Yeah, I'll try to find it. But I remember seeing that. Yeah, very, very, very cool.
Las Vegas is now deploying. They now have drones on buildings that are ready to be deployed at any moment. So it is really advanced stuff. Wow. And they're using it really, really effectively.
I love it. Yeah, definitely the wave of the future. Well, guys, another fantastic show. Lieutenant Randy Sutton with the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And guys, watch the show. Don't forget about the glove challenge. If you want to win a pair of the gloves for yourself, all you have to do is go to thewoundedblue.org and go to the events section. You'll see a thing about the glove challenge. Click on that graphic. You'll be taken to a donation page. Make a donation to the Wounded Blue. Put either my name, Chip DeBlock, or Travis Yates' name, and you're betting to see which one of us lasts the longest when we had the glove applied back at SHOT Show. And if you donate the most amount of money in the name of the person that actually won, that person that won, and then you that donate the most, you'll each get a free pair of the gloves. It's over $1,700 value. You'll have to donate them to an agency, but that's the way it works. The Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Hey, I also want to mention our sponsors again. Galls at galls.com, compliantechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa.com. We have gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, twobells.com, and fisherlandobass.com with Zach. Thanks for watching the show. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.